We're glad you're here. This is our first Sunday of 2022, and it is our kickoff Sunday. We used to invite a speaker each first Sunday of the year, and you got some reprieve from Victor, and the elders said, no, we want them to suffer. So here I am, but we do our best, and we're going to kick off this new year on all three of our lessons this morning. I want us to start by looking at two verses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, and they both express the exact same truth. The first one was penned by Moses in Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. Notice what he says. For the poor shall never cease from the land. Jesus is the one who makes a similar statement. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 11, for there he says this, for ye have the poor always with you. Every one of us realize the truthfulness of those two statements, don't we? We see the poor in our community. We see the poor on television on a regular basis, don't we? Sometimes we see them standing on our street corners. And they're walking up and down those lanes of traffic, hoping that someone will give them a dollar, $2, $3. I've been in parking lots. And all of a sudden, someone walks up behind me, about scares me to death, and asks if I can have a couple of bucks because they need something desperately. We see the homeless in parks. We see the homeless asleep on sidewalks by the streets. We see the homeless who are camped out under bridges and awnings and any other place they can find just the smallest amount of protection from the elements. And you and I know that there are many families in the United States and elsewhere who are living under the poverty level. Sometimes they're single moms and maybe they have two, three, four, maybe even five children living under their roof and they're just trying to survive. You would think that with the poverty and being able to see it so plainly that every one of us would have an abundance of compassion toward these individuals, wouldn't you? And yet, instead of compassion, we've grown quite cynical and quite suspicious of the poor, the downtrodden, and the depressed, haven't we? And sometimes we have reasons as to why we've grown that way. If you've ever worked in the area of benevolence, you know that you have been fooled by some individuals on occasions. You're generous, you give of your time, you give of your money, you give of your abundance, and all of a sudden you find out that they really didn't need the help that you had given them. You hear stories on television where individuals who are out begging for money are literally receiving hundreds upon hundreds of dollars. It's almost as if begging is their job. They sleep in nice hotels and they eat nice meals, and yet the next day finds them out begging all over again. You try to give them positive help. You bring them in and you say, look, we'll take care of you. We'll give you a hotel room. We'll give you some food, but we want to try to get you some training. We want to try to get you some education. We want to try to go out here and help you get a job. And immediately they buckle on you, don't they? Nah, I don't want any of that. So you quickly learn that they want the handout, but they don't want to learn how to be independent. And that's frustrating, isn't it? We know too that there are many government programs now that help the poor and help those who are struggling, and you go to help someone and they pull out a cell phone, they pull out a pack of cigarettes, and their breath stinks of liquor. And you wonder, If you've got enough money for all of this, why can't you provide for yourself? So you see, we grow suspicious and we grow cynical, don't we? And yet, in the midst of all of that, our elders have decided upon this theme for 2022. Seeking and serving the needy. Ugh, are you kidding? All these people who are just taking advantage of us, all these people who really don't need it, all these people who will not help themselves, you want me to help them? Folks, we've got some questions to answer. And they start with the words, can we? Can we accomplish our theme? Can we get excited about our theme? And the third question is this, can we give ourselves fully to this theme in 2022? And my hope is that we can as a congregation. This first lesson, if we were going to title it, would be entitled something like this, Defending the Needy. We're going to be looking at about 5 points in this lesson, and the first is this, the Bible and the needy. That little word needy is only used in the Old Testament. You'll never find it at all in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it is found 38 times in 37 verses. It is used in 8 different books of the Old Testament, and there are 2 Hebrew words that are used to translate this word needy. One of them is the word ebion, and it very simply means this, want, destitute, needy, poor. And when it is used, it refers to the lower class of individuals in a society. There's another word that's used, and it's the little word dar. I find it interesting that the literal translation of the word dar is dangling. It also means weak, thin, poor, and low. When I thought about that little word dangling, sometimes we have a phrase that we use, don't we? And the phrase goes something like this, he is at the end of his rope, or he is dangling from a thread, isn't he? And folks, that's the picture that God gives us of poor individuals. They are dangling from a thread. They're holding on with every fiber of their being, just trying to survive, just trying to get by. There are other words in the Bible that describe the needy. There are the poor, 205 times it is used in 195 verses. The word widows is used 26 times in 24 verses. Fatherless is used 43 times in 43 verses. And that little word orphan is only found one time in the entirety of the Bible. The question that we ask is this, how does God want us to deal with the needy? He mentions them. He knows they're a part of society. He says they will always be with us. He describes them in vivid detail. So the question is, what does he want us to do with them, especially as the people of God? So point number 2, handling the needy. There's 2 verses that we're going to be looking at to start this particular point, and they're both found in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 15:11. Remember, the Lord said what? The poor shall not cease out of the land, but that's only part of the verse. Notice the rest of the verse. Therefore, I command thee. This wasn't optional for Israel. It was a command of the Almighty God. Thou shalt open wide thine hand to whom? Unto thy brother and to the poor and to thy needy in thy land. What's the responsibility to these individuals who are poor, who are destitute, who are wretched, who are needy? Folks, our responsibility is to open wide thine hand unto them. The second verse found in Deuteronomy is Deuteronomy 24, verse 14. And basically, it is the flip side of the previous command. For notice what he says, "Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy." And folks, it didn't matter whether he was a brother or whether he was a stranger in the land in which the Jews were living. The second obligation, thou shalt not oppress the poor. Now think about that. Open wide your hand and never oppress them. That's God's instructions about needy people. We've got a mindset to get over, don't we? A big one. But that's not all the Bible says. There's other duties that are out there. The Bible tells us that we are to defend the poor according to Psalm 82 verse 3. He says also, we are to do justice unto them. Same psalm. In the very next verse, we are to deliver them. And in Proverbs 31:9, the Bible says we are to plead the cause of the poor and needy. Well, that's fine, Dick. That's all the Old Testament stuff. And we don't live under the Old Testament anymore. Fine. Let's go to the New Testament. And we'll only look at two verses in the New Testament. One of them is James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Sometimes what we have a tendency to do with that verse is to limit that little phrase, fatherless and widows, to fatherless and widows. Did you know that's a phrase that is intended to include all poor, all needy individuals? That's just two classes that represent the totality of individuals out there who stand in need. Folks, if you and I are going to practice pure religion, we've got to visit these individuals. That doesn't mean just show up at their doorstep and talk about the weather. That little word visit means to inspect and to take care of whatever needs that we find need to be taken care of. John, in his first epistle, is pretty clear as well in 1 John 3, verse 17. Listen to him. Whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, listen to the statement, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Wow. It's pretty strong, isn't it? You've got the resources. You've got the capability. You've got the things that are needed, and you see somebody in need and you refuse to help. How dwelleth the love of God in you? Pretty strong, isn't it? Folks, our God wants us reaching out, seeking and serving those who are in need. Let's talk about the needy and God for just a minute. I find it interesting that the needy throughout Scripture have a very special place in the heart of God. It's just interesting to me because the way God views them and the way I sometimes view them just sometimes doesn't match up. Take, for instance, Psalm 113, verse 7. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and the needy out of the dunghill. Folks, God is a God who is willing to take these individuals and to lift them up, not oppress them, not make life worse for them, not laugh at them, not joke at them, not oppress them. No, He lifts them up out of the dust and out of the dunghill. Why? Because they are special in His sight. What about Jesus? He's part of the Godhead, isn't He? What about Jesus and the needy? What was His view toward them? Well, I think the first thing we need to remember is that Jesus was a servant to the needy. And that's because He Himself was poor. Wasn't He? You turn to 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. And you've got a very interesting text. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet what? Yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Can you imagine? The owner of the universe. I don't know about you, that's a pretty wealthy being. The ruler of the universe. And what does He do? He makes Himself a man. He comes to this world, and here's what He says. The Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Matthew 8, verse 20. My friends, Jesus didn't even have His own residence in this earth. He didn't have a home with a title that He could call His own. He even says that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. He was totally, completely reliant upon others as to where He would sleep from night to night to night. Oh, homeless man, wasn't He? That's what He says. He was poor. I find it interesting that He talked about taking care of the needy on a regular basis, did He not? Two major parables that He gives. One of them is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, verses 30 through 37. Here's a man who is wounded. Here's a man who is down and out. Here's a man almost ready to die. And guess what? He needs care. And the example He holds up was not a priest, was not a Levite. It wasn't the children of God of the day. It was a good Samaritan who took care of Him. Isn't it shameful almost that He has to get a Samaritan, a half-breed, to be the example of what it means to take care of a destitute man? Sad, isn't it? Jesus also gives the parable of the sheep and goats. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And He tells us very plainly in that particular text that the standard of judgment, or at least part of the standard of judgment, is going to be how well we take care of other people. The hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. Folks, the ones who took care of them, He says, stood on My right hand. They're the sheep. God expects us to take care of those who are in need, doesn't He? Jesus worked among the downcast of society, did He not? Luke 4, verse 18, and the Bible tells us very plainly that He went around healing who? Healing all that were sick, according to Matthew 8, verse 16. If you had been a follower of Jesus, you would have probably gotten tired of His taking care of all the downtrodden of His day. Oh, here we go again. Helping all these poor folks. Folks, He Himself was poor. What about the Holy Spirit? Well, we've already talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit addresses what you and I need to do for the downcast in society. Whoso seeth his brother in need, there's the word. And withholds those goods, those things that he has from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? There's the Holy Spirit talking. The Holy Spirit has compassion and longing for those who are down and who are out. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, my friends, all three members of the Godhead are focused on the needy of society. As I was thinking about this lesson, there are three large groups of needy people in our world. First, there are those who are physically needy, aren't there? And there's a bunch of those. The homeless, the sick, the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the grieving. Individuals who are mentally ill, prisoners, and sometimes just those that are different. And every one of those individuals are needy. Every one of those individuals have wants and desires that desperately need to be fulfilled. But we also have those who are spiritually needy, don't we? I group every one of those in one large group. The lost. The lost. My friends, there are a boatload of those in our world. Now, those individuals may not be hurting physically. They're well-dressed, good jobs, well-cared for, beautiful homes, cars, great education, have everything they need physically, but they are still in need of our help and our assistance, and they may not even know it because they're spiritually sick. And there's a third category, kind of a unique category. And folks, these are the helpers of the needy. You know, there are some individuals in our world who realize that the needy need to be taken care of, and they dedicate their time and they dedicate their efforts to doing exactly that. And you and I can help the helpers help the needy. And most of the time, that's the way we do it, isn't it? Within the church, we have missionaries, don't we? What are these missionaries out doing? Folks, they're out in all parts of the world taking the gospel to who? To the lost, those who are spiritually needy. We find, too, that there are prison ministries that exist. We all know well the prison ministry here in Florida, don't we? They come usually about once a year and usually bring two or three individuals with them who are participants in that program. We find that there are church camps. Did you know that there are usually more baptisms in a church camp than there are in a local congregation during the course of a year? I'm serious. 10, 12, 15, 20, 30, 40 young people converted at church camp. How about children's homes? There's about 30 of them scattered throughout the United States that are all connected with the Churches of Christ. And guess who they are helping? They are helping children who are in need. There's also widows' homes that exist. And what about preacher training schools? We have congregations that stand in need of ministers, do they not? And you don't want just any old individual standing up in a pulpit preaching, do you? You want someone who's trained, someone who at least has a little bit of knowledge to do that. So we have training schools to assist the training of ministers. Folks, all these individuals are helping who? Helping the needy. Now, for the next couple of minutes, I want to talk to you about Oceanside and the needy that we want to help in 2022. We have an opportunity this year to help 12 different works. Usually, if you look at our budget, we may help 4 or 5 different works. But this year, we have the ability as a congregation to help 12 different works. One each month. The elders have said that whatever monies are contributed and go over the budget, those monies will go to a particular work that month. The very first one is a missionary by the name of George McNulty, a missionary in Ireland. If you were here for Catch a Vision Day, George was here and he spoke, and individuals loved George. I knew they would. Little short guy, little heavy, but just a little fireball, isn't he? He holds dual citizenship in the United States and in Ireland, and he's decided to go with his wife, Christina, and to be an evangelist in Ireland. And he'll be working with about 4 or 5 congregations in that land. February, the elders have decided to assist the Memphis School of Preaching. Folks, that work has been around since the late 1950s. It is now under the oversight of the Forest Hill Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. And every year, they have somewhere between 30 to 50 preachers that they are training to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, that is a lot of men. This is not online learning. This is in-person learning. And we're going to dedicate February to helping the Memphis School of Preaching. March, Latin American missions. Most of us are very familiar with Latin American missions. They are under the Forest Park congregation in Valdosta, Georgia. If you'll look at their seal, they are helping 8 different nations in Latin America and also in South America. They have a preacher training school, they have a children's home, and during the summers, until COVID hit, they would take about 10 different groups into one of those countries and evangelize those nations. We've been a part of a couple of those efforts in the past. And my friends, they have done a wonderful work in Latin America and South America. The fourth one in the month of April is another mission work. Georgia Bible Camp. Delane Guthrie was here. He's the director of that camp. He spoke about it during our Catch a Vision Day. They're trying to renovate that camp, rejuvenate that camp. They got one more cottage that they want to rebuild and to refurbish for those young people. And they've instituted new programs, and that camp is growing by leaps and bounds every year. Those first 4 works that we just talked about were all part of our Catch a Vision Day. And those who participated in that day have said that, yes, we want these 4 works at least to be supported by this congregation. So now we have an opportunity to do that, don't we? And folks, we still got a lot of months left. In May, we're going to focus on Raintree Village. Normally we send about $100, $150 a month to those children, to that children's home. Folks, that's not a lot of money, you know that? $1,200, that's not very much. when you talk about trying to take care of a cottage of kids. Not just one, but several cottages of kids. And our elders wanted to do more this year with even the works we presently support. So that month they'll get their budgeted amount plus whatever goes over budget for this year. We'll do the same in June for Mount Dora in Mount Dora, Florida. Another wonderful work as far as children's homes is concerned. In July, our support will turn to the Churches of Christ Florida Prison Ministry. Yes, we support that work on a regular basis, but we want to do more for that work during this particular year since it's part of who we are. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to write them an additional check and say, here, this is for the Oceanside congregation in addition to what we already provide for you. I don't know if many of you remember, but it's been a little over a year ago. A friend of mine by the name of Hal Ferguson came and he spoke about Chamala Mission. It is a mission that is in Tanzania, Africa. And he had his own son and daughter-in-law who are going to go over there and going to be laboring in that work. Folks, that work has been there for almost 50 years now. It too has a preacher training school. It too has a children's home and a hospital at their facility. And they service that area in an unbelievable way, and it is worthy of our support. So the elders have decided to help Tanzania, Africa. We've also chosen to support the work in the Philippines. Right here we have a picture of one of the missionaries, Michael Stock, and his wife Deborah. And they travel over there on a regular basis and preach the gospel in the Philippines. October, all the money will go to a young man named Jet Smith. Nobody knows him, do they? He was here not too long ago and he filled in for me during both worship services and Bible class. I heard he did a good job. He's in the running to try to push me out. I had a long talk with him after he came. Now, Jet's a good friend of mine. His family is a good friend of mine. And he did a good job. We're going to take those monies in October and we're going to send those to Jet while he's training to be a preacher of the gospel. And then there's one more missionary. A man by the name of John Grubb. Not very many people know John. I do. Aaron knows John. He is a missionary to China. And my friends, he speaks fluent Mandarin language. You're talking about one of the hardest languages on the earth to know. He's married to a woman who is from over there. Her name is Beatrix, and they'll be laboring in Asia and primarily in China. And we're going to dedicate monies for that. There's one more month. That's the month of December. And that month has been reserved, and whatever monies come, there is possibly another work that's going to pop up. They normally do, don't they? Somebody knocks on the door. They're finding you're handing out money. Hey, we need that. Well, the elders want to have that money to provide someone with those funds. The results. 12 works in 12 months. Doesn't sound like a big deal, does it? But folks, when you really start looking at it and you really start focusing on what we're attempting to do, that is a lot of works, isn't it? 12 works in 12 months. It'd be like looking at our budget and seeing 12 lines, 12 names listed on our budget of who we're going to support. Now remember how we're going to do that. All the monies collected over the budgeted amount will be given to those works. I want you to think about that for a minute. If in the month of January we contribute $1,000 over our budget, that money will go to George McNulty. What if we do that every month of 2022? Folks, that is $12,000 that we are dedicating to helping the needy, aren't we? What if we could go over our budgeted amount just $1,500 a month? Now we step up our assistance to $18,000 for this year. If we could give $2,000 over our budgeted amount each month, that's $24,000 given to mission work and to the needy in our society and the world. Folks, think about that. Africa, the Philippines, Latin and South America, Asia, preacher training schools. Folks, we're talking about trying to hit as many places as we can in the world. What if we could go $3,000 over budget? I realize that's a lot of money, isn't it? $36,000 we could give to missions in the course of 2022. Unbelievable, isn't it? Folks, all of those individuals we've listed and others are in need are serving the needs of others, aren't they? We have additional funds set aside for another month if we want to. And here's what I would love to see. I don't know if it'll happen. This is in under the discretion of the elders, but wouldn't it be wonderful if we could make up a collection one month and the congregation go on another mission trip? Have 8 or 10 or 12 individuals who would dedicate themselves to going somewhere, either foreign or domestic, to be a part of a mission work? You're talking about firing up those 12. It does that. And it fires up the congregation a little bit too, to know that you're personally involved in a ministry. I was trying to think of a good conclusion for this lesson. And I believe it's Matthew 25, verse 40. Remember I said a while ago that Matthew 25 is that parable about the sheep and goats? Jesus separates the sheep from the goats and He sets the sheep on His right hand and He tells them why He did it. He said, "You saw me hungry and you gave me food. You saw me thirsty and you gave me drink. You saw me naked and you clothed me. You saw me sick and you visited me. You saw me in prison and you came unto me." And they're just shocked by what they hear. And they ask Him a question. "Lord, when did we see you like that?" Do you remember His answer? It's found in verse 40. "And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye did it unto me." Folks, listen to me. Yes, when we help somebody that's homeless, we help the homeless, don't we? But you want to know who else you're helping? The Christ said, "You're helping me." We give food to an orphan, to a hurting child. Yeah, we give it to the child, but guess what? Jesus said, "You've given it to me." You help someone who is sick. Yes, we help that sick person. But we're helping the Christ. We do what we can to help those who are in prison, try to convert them and change their lives. Yes, we help that individual, but folks, the one to whom we are giving as well is the Christ. "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." It's that mindset that will get us out of our cynical, suspicious attitudes and cause us to open our hand wide to the needy. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do? My friend, maybe you're not a Christian, but we want you to be, don't we? You see, a person who's not a Christian is in need, desperate need of salvation. That individual is going to die and be lost. That individual is going to die and meet his judge. That individual is going to die and meet his eternal destination, totally unprepared. And it doesn't have to be that way. Our Lord has come, delivered the gospel, and He says, you need to do five things initially to be saved. Hear the precious gospel. Believe in the Christ as the Son of God. Repent of sins. Confess the name of Jesus and then be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Why don't you do that this morning? Start the new year as a child of the living God. Then the Bible tells us to be faithful unto death, following the footsteps of our Creator, so that one of these days you and I can be with Him forever and ever and ever. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?